From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. It's been a strange year for gardeners and farmers. The beautiful weather in March that led to tulips blossoming and trees budding may have tempted a lot of people to start digging in their yards. But many wise gardeners and farmers resisted temptation until now, the usual time to begin planting in the upper Midwest. Still, there are a lot of questions raised about what this unusual spring means in the short and long term for perennial plants or trees whose growing season got a major jump start this spring. La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Strube recently talked with UW Extension's La Crosse County Agriculture Agent Steve Hunsicker about the strange growing season. They talk first about the potential harm to some trees that bloomed early, then experienced frost and snow.
Probably the most damage is going to be branches coming off and the potential for disease and insects to attack that during our summer months when they become more prevalent. So what will likely happen is a lot of branches will be damaged. We'll get a lot of breaks or tears along trunks or the bark as the limbs are coming down. And all those will need to heal over in time, which takes energy from the tree this year, but also leaves them susceptible to some of those other pests that may enter. So the damage will be twofold probably, and we'll see how they come out of it for future years. But as far as leafing out, many of our trees will put out secondary or tertiary leaves. That'll be a good sign for us. Even here in our area, we've had some of the frosts that have occurred. And so even if we had some leaf damage on our trees, we're probably going to see some secondary leaves come out on those.
So what is a bigger threat, the lack of moisture that we have had or the early warm weather that forced the plants to bloom and the trees to bud?
Well, I think it becomes to each individual's perspective on that. If we look at moisture, it's always a concern. It's one of our main staples, whether we're talking about our trees or we're talking about an annual plant that we put in the ground or our vegetable garden. So we certainly need moisture. We can supplement some moisture that we get. We can't really control the weather that we're getting. So if you look at how early the spring came, it really kept our window open for a long period of time for that potential of being hit by freezing conditions or frost or a late snowfall, which we escaped at this point. So it might be a toss-up as to which one in particular is worse condition. I would say, you know, having drought for any prolonged period of time really, really puts us at odds.
So what about the trees and maybe even the plants or shrubs that bloomed early as such? Can people who have those items that needed to be pruned but they didn't seem to get it done in time, are they able to still go out and prune those items?
We can prune some of that plant foliage depending on which plants it is. If it's our spring flowering, typically we get a window. For example, let's use the lilac as our example. Once the blooms have been spent or become brown, that's really our time or our window to be pruning on lilacs. Now, it's much earlier this year than we would normally see because some of our lilacs either got frosted or we actually had them already bloom and have turned brown. So we would want to prune them after those flowers have turned brown and before the new buds are set on. So we get a few weeks of time in between for an example like a lilac. Some of our other species, example of a tree species might be an oak. Oak, we're really done with our pruning at this point, unless a branch is broken by a storm or some damage that we might clean up because of the possibility of oak wilt coming in. So we wanted to do oak pruning during a time when we're less susceptible to that disease coming in to that tree, and that would be our dormant period during the winter. So it really is going to depend on what plant or what tree that we're working with. Some things could still be pruned as we go through the season. Other things, we're just going to have to live with them the way they are.
And I would expect those trees that will bear fruit eventually, you probably wouldn't be pruning those after they've flowered.
Correct. Any of our summer blooming plants, we're going to want to leave alone. Fruit trees fall into that category in this area especially. Some of our apple trees did get some frost damage to them, so we may not get as much fruit or any fruit in some situations, which could be detrimental for the production of the fruit, but hopefully not detrimental to the tree.
So what types of plants and trees are hardier and which are more susceptible to the type of year that we're having?
Well, if we want to just talk about some of our plant material that was out there, especially early on, that frost was going to be an issue as things started to develop. Bleeding hearts, our lilacs started to bloom early. A lot of our ornamental crabs and apple trees and these types of plants started to bloom early. Even some of our rose bushes came out earlier than expected. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty sensitive plants to some of the cold temperatures that we're going to have. So we would have to be careful with those types of plants. Some things like hostas we think of, they're pretty hardy, pretty tough. A lot of people can grow them in a lot of conditions and a lot of environments. They might have got some black leaves on them from some of the cold temperatures, but for the most part, they stay pretty strong and move through. If we move to the tree side, most of our mature trees are going to do just fine. If we had a new tree that we planted early because the weather was so nice, we might have put it at a little bit of a risk just because it was an early transplant. But for the most part, we've got a good start to most of the tree species that are out there. Even some of our trees like oaks and hickories may not have even budded out yet. We might see them coming later. In fact, a lot of questions often come in, it looks like nothing's happening with this tree yet. Well, give it time. Even though we've had really nice conditions all the way from, you know, early March on, we're still in a window where stuff should be coming out normally. So don't panic, I guess, would be the best advice there on some of those plant species still coming out.
Based on what we've had so far this year in terms of weather, what do you suspect the annual plants and trees, how will they fare given what they've been through?
I think as long as we don't have a lot of other stressors, especially on our tree species, like if we'd have a long extended drought time, that would be more stress than this early blooming coming on them for a perennial like a lot of our tree species. Some of the annuals, as long as we haven't put them out too early, we're probably okay. For example, if we're not getting into our gardens too soon, if we're not putting our annual flower beds in too soon, they're going to be fine because we're going to put them in at a normal time that we would be putting them out there. Some of our perennial shrubs and maybe some of our bulbs that might have been out there, say some of the tulips, we just may not have gotten the show out of them that we would normally expect. Most of the green foliage is going to stay out there, and that's going to be good. It's going to give it energy throughout our growing season yet. It'll store it up in those bulbs and allow us to hopefully still have some good plants for future years. Just we may have lost some of the nice flowers and show that we normally would see.
Is anyone in the upper Midwest area studying how unusually early blooming for the plants and trees that has happened this year, how it affects them in the long term?
Well, I think from a horticulture standpoint, a lot of our horticulturalists are going to pay attention to what happens during this year. We haven't seen this type of weather really before, and if it was a long time ago, and we may not have the history with some of the plants and foliage and material that we have out there. So people are going to look at it. Is somebody going to study it specifically? I guess that'll be yet to be seen, whether we'll have somebody that looks directly at what's happening and the effects from it. But I think what's going to happen is that, like anything with research, we're going to take time to look over the years. Does this year that we had or the start to the season that we had affect us 3, 4, 10, 15 years down the road, especially with some of those trees and perennials that we discussed?
Speaking of shrubs, is it the type of year that we've had here that causes those beautiful green shrubs to all of a sudden have that kind of a rust spot in it that looks like it's died out?
It can really depend on it. Sometimes we get sun scald that's happening. We get these warm temperatures, and then we get the cold at night. The cells expand too quickly in some of our plants, and we actually get some damage in which you're occurring with the die-out spots or the dead spots, some of the winter kill that we would normally see. Sometimes we can get some spotting on the leaves because some of the spores are getting to us much sooner once those temperatures warm up. We've had some windy conditions, so some of the spores are moving around and traveling, such as the rusts that we may see on some of the plants. Maybe apple scab, for example, might be here earlier because of it. But we'll wait and see how that all shapes up because some of the things, for example, apple scab, as we looked at it, we need our two hosts to come together at the same time. The cedar tree has to produce the spores, and then it has to get onto the apple trees when they're leafing out. So whether that timing all lined up this year is going to be a question, too.
We talked briefly about pruning, and I have an additional question on that with regards to not transmitting disease, possibly from one plant to the next. I've read and heard that you should dip your tools into a bleach water. Is that right or something different?
Yep, that's correct. You want to use a bleach solution of some sort. Different things have been used. Bleach tends to be one of those things that's a common household product that many people have. So it's a A 10% or better bleach solution is really what we think about when we're cleaning those tools just in a bucket. It seems cumbersome and time-consuming to do, but really is important if we're transferring from tree-to-tree species or from some of our perennial shrubs over to our trees with some of our pruning equipment, just to avoid any transfer of disease, or especially if we decide, hey, we're going to go help this neighbor and don't want to be dragging things between our property and their property, to dip in between our cuttings. In some cases, we might even have a specific plant where we're trying to remove something that's diseased. We may even dip in between each cutting from the standpoint of not wanting to take what we just cut out and are doing some other pruning on that tree. So it is important to consider, you know, how we keep those tools clean.
You are listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. My guest today is Steve Hunziker, La Crosse County UW Extension Agricultural Agent, and we've been talking about what impact the unusual weather in the spring of 2012 will have on your plants, trees, gardens, and farms. Gardeners were cautioned not to start their work too soon this year. Did they listen?
Well, I think, yeah, for the most part. I think part of what has happened from the gardening standpoint is we still get at the cold nights in this area, and that hasn't gotten everybody out there to start out just because we've been busy covering plants and doing other things to try to protect them from some of the frost that we've had overnight. So it's probably been our reminder each evening to say, okay, it's probably too early to get out there in the vegetable gardens. But as we come into the month of May, certainly this is going to be our timing that a lot of our garden plants are going to get started with, whether we're talking about some early peas going in or something along that line, maybe some potatoes being planted. It just will depend on, you know, each garden situation that we have. But keep in mind, as you know, we come into May, we've had frost events in May as well. So, you know, the first couple of weeks still have the biggest potential for our frost to occur. But it is going to be that time that we start to get into the gardening season. So hopefully people have waited with most of the plants and we'll have plenty of time to get those in and have a productive year.
Does it make a difference if it's a flower garden versus a vegetable garden in terms of starting too soon?
Well, I think with a vegetable garden, especially if you're starting from seed, you have a little bit more time there because that seed needs to germinate and develop, whether it's a 7, 10, 15 days to get those seeds going. Now, if you're bringing in a transplant into that vegetable garden, remember that's a pretty tender plant, a lot of them coming out of a greenhouse or some setting where they've been pretty climate controlled and cared for. So we have to acclimate them to the conditions that they're coming into. And when we're seeing these variables of 60, 70 degrees during the day and down to 40, 35, maybe even 30 degrees at night, that's going to be a pretty big shock to some of those plants that are coming out. So same with our annual plants that we'd be putting out, whether it's a hanging basket that we're going to get for Mother's Day or whatever event is coming up. We want to protect those and be careful of those plants, that we don't expose them too quickly to the elements that they're coming into, and want to get them to harden off a little bit and adapt to the conditions that they're in.
And what about rhubarb? I've heard and I've actually talked with people about, gosh, you know, rhubarb was up really well this year, and then all of a sudden we had a frost. Can people still use that rhubarb?
Well, I think quality is going to be the issue there with that rhubarb, is what it's really going to come down to. A lot of it came really early, and I don't know that you're going to have any kind of taste to that to begin with. The toxins usually are contained mostly in the leaf, and that would be the portion that you'd want to discard. I'd be careful a little bit with rhubarb, but for the most part, you know, that's going to be one of those where you probably want to take some of your later stuff to use if you really want to get the quality that you normally would have. It might be nice out there. You might just cut back some of that early stuff and just take some of the new growth as it comes forward. So
I'm going to switch here to farmers in our area. Were many of them tempted to start planting early?
Well, I think everybody was tempted to plant early.
So did they?
I think the biggest thing there was most people have waited. We did see some corn go into the ground a little earlier already in the month of April. And so I think as days continue, we get less and less likely to have a frost event. So our chance for that is less. But certainly it was hard in March and the first part of April to sit on our hands and say, wow, we got the seed, we got the bags here, how come we're not going? But Most people did some other things around the farm, whether it was some minor tillage that they did, spreading fertilizer, getting anhydrous out on the fields, spreading manure and taking down those inventories and getting them out onto the field. So there's always plenty to do, and I think people, for the most part, waited. We're going to get into that time frame now where we're going to be going full bore into that cropping season. So, I think we're getting less and less likely to have some type of catastrophe happen from the freezing side or the frost side. So probably early yet in the year for soybeans to go in, but some of the corn. We did see small grains go in early in some of our direct seeding, which they tolerate some of that cold temperatures a lot better than maybe our conventional corn and soybeans would.
Isn't there a challenge sometimes if you plant too early with regards to whether the crop insurance will cover?
Correct. There are some key dates that come to mind with crop insurance. Usually that second week of April tends to be a key time, whether you're in southern half of Wisconsin or the northern half of Wisconsin. It varies. But once that window passes, what happens is with the crop insurance, you don't get replant insurance if you plant prior to those dates that they set up or say are going to be our dates. So you didn't want to ruin your insurance or negate what you could get by planting too early. And I think that helped some producers wait as well to say, this is an expensive seed in my bag here. I don't want to put this out and not be able to get reimbursed for it if something major were to happen.
As you look at the weather and you compare it, its impact on flower gardens and vegetable gardens and the trees that we own, as well as what farmers do within our area. Were they helped or hurt by what's happened this year?
Well, I think that's yet to be determined a little bit. I think from a standpoint of we didn't get a lot of snow, in fact, very little, if any, in March. So from a farming standpoint, we weren't cleaning up a bunch of snow on and around the farm. We didn't have to do a lot of shoveling in our yards, and things kind of greened up and started to go. So it probably reduced some costs that we would have had from the standpoint of getting started into the spring. The moisture end, I think things have started to use moisture probably sooner than we normally would see as plants came out of dormancy much earlier. So that may be an impact. We've had some timely rains now that were pretty important because we were really starting to dry out as we came into the month of April. So the rains have been helpful for getting some of that replenished moisture back into the ground that for our trees and some of these plants that started probably a month earlier than they should have, they needed a kick to get some extra moisture and to really continue to do the things that they were going to do. So in a way, it's been helpful from the standpoint of an earlier start, but it may have hurt us a little bit with our moisture initially, but as long as we're getting those timely rains along the season, I think we'll be okay.
And what about carryover crops? You mentioned before that some farmers have done some of their seeding in terms of alfalfa, maybe even some oats and that. But what about the alfalfa crop that's in the field that's coming back up and was up quite nicely after what happened in March? Did the frost impact that stand?
Yes, the frost did have impacts on the stand, depending on where you were located and how cold the temperatures you actually received. Alfalfa can withstand temperatures down to about 24 degrees overnight. And if we get about 24 degrees or lower for about 3 to 4 hours especially, we really look at damage happening all the way back to the crown of that plant. So some farmers may have experienced alfalfa that actually damaged that 10, 12 inches of growth that was already out there or more. And they'll start to see rebudding occurring from that crown and starting to develop back. Now, temperatures that were warmer than that, say we were 28, 32 in that range, we may see some tips or ends of the plants that are starting to show signs of it, some browning, some blackening on the end, maybe even a little bit of wilting or drooping that we saw in the plants. Most of that will continue to grow from those points and continue to grow upwards. So it depends on the amount of the damage that we had and the duration of the temperature being cold in certain areas. There were some pockets that we may see alfalfa growing back from the bottom. So as in discussion with farmers already, it's yet to be seen, but we may see a lot of short, thick growth that's there to cut through that first crop because we may have some of that stuff that started originally way back in March and some new growth that passes that comes out from buds that have started a little bit later. So Going to be interesting, but I think once we get to that bud and start to get to the flowering stage, producers are going to go, and I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see some of the first crop come off, you know, a week, maybe 2 weeks, even more earlier than we had seen in the past.
Do you think it'll impact the quality of that hay? Because I know farmers who use their hay for feed are always, as in particular if they're dairy farmers, are looking for that high-quality hay in terms of production. So do you think that'll make a difference?
If it's alive, we're not going to lose the relative feed value that's probably going to be there. If it died back, we're going to lose some of the value of it. But more than likely with the regrowth coming back, we're going to still have a quality product there. So again, each situation is going to vary a little, but overall quality shouldn't be impacted to a big extent with the frost.
And what about second and third crop then? Will that be affected by what happened to the first crop of
hay? I think that's the wait and see part of this that we won't know for sure. It will depend on the health of those alfalfa stands coming in. Certainly if you had a weak stand to start with, it having to re-germinate or grow a second time already or restart again is going to use more energy for that plant. So your second and third or fourth crops as you move through them may become less and less, just depending on the energy reserve that's there in that plant itself. Now, if you had a real good, healthy stand, there should be reserves there because, remember, our winter wasn't the harshest of winters. We kept things pretty dormant throughout the year. We didn't see big fluctuations. We didn't see a lot of winter kill from the year. So stands should be okay. It's just going to be how many times can we get those cuttings off and what are they going to look like.
I know, Steve, as agricultural agent here in La Crosse County, traditionally you've worked with farmers with ag-related issues on the farm, and more recently, over the last 10, 15 years or so, the agricultural agents work with urban agriculture, which is some of the landscape and the gardening kinds of issues that we started this conversation with today. As a resource to the people in the community, you have something through UW Extension that's known as Master Gardeners. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that program?
Right. The Master Gardener program is a volunteer program run through the University of Wisconsin Extension, and it's really an opportunity for those homeowners or garden enthusiasts to come and learn more about horticulture and then give back to their communities through that volunteer base that is created through Master Gardeners. Currently, the training is a 12-week training, typically offered now in the fall for the general level one training of Master Gardeners here in La Crosse. And what it is it can look anywhere from raising perennials to work with the vegetables to some of our tree care and pruning. There's lots of different topics that are covered during those 12 weeks, and it's about a three-hour class that happens once a week. Last year we did them on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 9 p.m. It's likely again to be a very similar format coming into this fall for the program. And then once that initial training of 12 weeks is completed, what is asked of the volunteers is to give back into their communities, and it's something that they're interested in, whether it be joining a project here locally. Some examples of those might be the Riverside International Gardens that we see here in La Crosse, the Hickson House, and some of the landscaping that's gone around there. There's been some work and talk of working with the Myrick Hickson Eco Park as part of the projects, or some other Habitat for Humanity even has been a project in the past that the Master Gardeners have been involved in. But there are lots of opportunities to volunteer and give back, and what we look for is 24 hours then of volunteer community service back to the community within the next year following that training, and then consecutive years from there on. There's also our Bluff Country Master Gardeners that is the organization that is affiliated with the Master Gardener training, and you have the opportunity to join and be a member of that as well.
And in light of the weather, the thing that we talk the most about but probably can do the least about in life, and the things that have happened with this past spring and the weather, what one piece of advice would you give to someone who's thinking about becoming more active or involved with gardening and yard work this year?
Well, I think first piece of advice that I had to anybody who was starting out this year was be patient, because the season came so early that we had a lot of factors that could have affected what was there. So we've kind of made it through that window of probably being patient. And now if you're interested in learning more, check the resources that are available to you, whether it be through the university, publications that are available through our learning store, contacting your local county agent to talk with them more about the information that you're looking for, or just picking up a good resource book or material from a local bookstore to get involved and read more and learn more about what it is you have an interest in. And I think that's one of the things that can be enjoyable, is finding a focus and finding a hobby or an activity that really relates to what you enjoy doing. If the manual labor part isn't part of it, there are lots of opportunities still out there to learn and educate yourself and get involved in different organizations that are out there. So, you know, get out, learn as much as you can and about the thing that you're interested in, and try to be good at that.
Steve Hunsaker is the La Crosse County Agriculture Agent for UW Extension. He was interviewed by La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Stroob about the unusual spring weather and what it could mean for plants, trees, and crops. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.